and welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony on Thursday, February 8th at 7:30 p.m. at the Wilson Center in Wilmington, North Carolina. The North Carolina Symphony will perform the Serenade for Strings in E Major, Opus 22 by Antonín Dvořák, and that will be followed by Daphne and Chloe by Maurice Ravel. Now I'll begin reading the symphony notes. The Serenade for Strings in E Major, Opus 22 by Antonín Dvořák, is the first work on the program. Dvořák was born September 8, 1841, near Prague, and he died May 1, 1904, in Prague. The work was composed in 1875, and the first performance was December 10, 1876, in Prague. Adolf Čech was the conductor. Now, here is the overview. Given his current stature as one of the foremost composers of the 19th century, Antonín Dvořák was something of a late bloomer, although not for want of musical talent and industry. Dvořák's father was a butcher and had expected his son to go into the family trade. Only after his uncle had agreed to finance the boy's musical education was he able to follow his passion for music. Although trained as a church organist, Dvořák took his first job as principal viola in Prague's new provincial theater orchestra. Now, during this time, he practiced composition, producing songs, symphonies, and entire operas, but without recognition, much less appreciation, until he was in his 30s. Already influenced by the nationalist bohemian style of Bedrich Smetana, Dvořák met and became a disciple of Brahms in 1875. Vienna's famous curmudgeon music critic, Eduard Hanslick, also encouraged the not-so-young composer and gave him prominent billing in his reviews. In the same year, Brahms and Hanslick also supported him when he entered and won the competition for the Austrian State Prize in Music for young, poor, and talented musicians. Dvořák won that competition twice more. The committee report stated that the applicant, who has never yet been able to acquire a piano of his own, deserves a grant to ease his strained circumstances and free him from anxiety in his creative work. Brahms and Hanslick also urged Dvořák to move to Vienna, but his love for his native Bohemia kept him in Prague. Dvořák sensed condescension in the support and encouragement of the Austrian musical establishment, and was resentful at being forced by economic necessity to accept government stipends. He nevertheless responded to this encouragement with a creative outpouring that included, in the course of a few months, the Symphony No. 5, the Piano Trio Opus 21, the Piano Quartet Opus 23, the Moravian Duets Opus 20, and the Serenade for Strings. Like Smetana, Dvořák freely incorporated folk elements into his music, utilizing characteristic peasant rhythms and melodic motifs, although seldom actually quoting entire folk melodies. The 19th century serenade, true to its 18th century origins, is less intense than a formal symphony, but this one sits on the fence between the two genres. Three of the five movements are expanded ABA structures, including the first, which one would have expected to be in a sonata allegro form. Nevertheless, the serenade does contain elements characteristic of more formal symphonic practices of the period, a slow movement that contrasts with the other four. a scherzo middle movement that, despite its title, does not completely conform to the scherzo trio symphonic form. The finale, a combined rondo and sonata allegro form, quotes the main theme of the opening movement, a unifying common in many more weighty symphonies and chamber works of the period. The instrumentation for this work is for strings. The next work on the program for this special Wilmington, North Carolina concert of the North Carolina Symphony is Daphne and Chloe by Maurice Ravel. Ravel was born March 7, 1875 in Cibaret, France, and he died December 28, 1937 in Paris. The work was composed from 1909 to 1912, and the first performance was June 8, 1912, at the Théâtre du Châtelet, Paris, as part of the Ballet Russe. Pierre Monteau was the conductor. Now here's the overview. In the annals of classical composers, Maurice Ravel was in a lucky minority. Born into a cultured middle-class family, he is one of the few composers whose parents encouraged his professional music ambitions right from the start. From the age of seven, Ravel's father provided him with the best private musical instruction. At 12, he went on to the preparatory school for the Paris Conservatory, graduating into the regular course of study at age 14. In a surprisingly single-minded manner, the youthful Ravel marched to his own drummer as he developed his musical language. He could not, or would not, conform to the rigorous and by then dated traditions of the conservatoire, and was repeatedly beaten out for any of the composition prizes by composers who have remained almost completely unknown. Ravel was always fascinated by the new and exotic in music, as well as by avant-garde developments in literature and painting. Therefore, it is somewhat surprising that throughout his career, while his older contemporary Debussy had abandoned tonality and other turn-of-the-century composers were stretching its harmonic boundaries, Ravel remained a conservative with regard to tonality, the linchpin of Western classical music. His conservatism, however, never prevented him from employing new, varied, and unconventional harmonic coloring over the fundamental tone structure of his works. In 1909, Paris was taken by storm by the performances of the Ballet Russe under its innovative impresario Sergei Diaghilev. In the years before the Great War, Diaghilev had utilized the talents of the most progressive artists in all fields, including such luminaries as the multifaceted Jean Cocteau, Pablo Picasso, Claude Debussy, Erik Satie, and the rising young Russian musical star Igor Stravinsky. Diaghilev commissioned Ravel to set to music a ballet whose scenario was the work of choreographer Michael Fokine, based on a late Hellenistic pastoral tale by the Greek poet Longus. Daphne and Chloe is a relatively simple love story in three themes. The first scene, the lovers, Daphne and Chloe, are each beset by petty jealousies during a festival in honor of the nymphs, devotees of the god Pan. Before the lovers can reconcile, they are attacked by a band of pirates who abduct Chloe. Daphne finds her scandal and, together with the nymphs, invokes the aid of Pan. In scene two, Chloe is made to dance for the pirates when suddenly Pan appears and frightens them away. The final scene sees the reconciliation of the lovers as they reenact the story of Pan and the nymph Syrinx, who was transformed into a set of reed pipes. A dance of general rejoicing ends the ballet. Fokine had envisioned his choreography without the distinct formal numbers of traditional ballet. Ravel obliged by creating a seamless symphonic poem that the traditionally trained dancers found difficult to follow. The work took him 2 years to complete, punctuated by periods of procrastination. Despite the fact that the roles of Daphne and Chloe were danced by the world-famous stars Anna Pavlova and Vaclav Nijinsky, the audience didn't take to this new kind of ballet. Incidentally, this was the same audience that rioted the following year over Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. Daphne and Chloe is a magnificent orchestral showpiece written for an ensemble enhanced by chorus, which is treated as part of the instrumental ensemble, but which is sometimes omitted in performance, along with expanded woodwind and percussion sections. It employs few themes, the most important of which is the one representing the lovers, heard throughout the work. Ravel's ballet is an atmospheric work employing highly varied and subtle orchestral colors through different combinations of instruments. The instrumentation for Daphne and Chloe is two piccolos, three flutes, alto flute, two oboes, English horn, E-flat clarinet, two clarinets, bass clarinet, three bassoons, contrabassoon, four horns, four trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, two harps, celeste, and strings. The symphony notes for this performance of the North Carolina Symphony were written and copyrighted in 2018 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You've been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. I thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.